My guest at this time is Matthew Staver. He is the founder and chairman of Liberty Council. He joins me today to react to a couple of statements Donald Trump made in his first post-election interview with Leslie Stahl of 60 Minutes. He was specifically speaking about two major social issues, one being abortion and the other being the definition of marriage. And Matt, thanks very much for being with us.
You're welcome. Good to be with you.
Well, let's start with the one that I'm guessing you're a little happier with. This is actually the ABC News recap of what Trump said in his interview with Leslie Stahl.
Trump restated his pledge to roll back abortion rights, pledging to appoint justices who could overturn Roe versus Wade, sending the issue back to the states. And if a woman is seeking an abortion,
they'll have to go to another state.
So Trump is staying, Matt, with his pledge to appoint Supreme Court justices that would vote against keeping Roe v. Wade. And he says that would, of course, put the issue back in the hands of the states and they could make the decision on that. What's your reaction to where Trump continues to be on this issue?
Well, certainly I've been pleased with his position on appointing pro-life justices and judges and vetting them through the Heritage Foundation and the Federalist Society. That's a big deal. That's a huge deal, not just on the issue of life, but across the board. You get the justice or judge that has a judicial philosophy to interpret the Constitution rather than to create a brand new Constitution, and that will solve a lot of problems that we have in this country, including the issue of an activist court on the matter of abortion. So I'm very pleased with that. He's been very solid and very consistent on it, and he reiterated it again, and I'm looking forward to who this next Supreme Court justice will be, and not just that. We've got potentially other justices, and we also have lots of federal court, appellate courts, and district courts that will come available that this president-elect will appoint. So I think that is good news for the American people. It's certainly good news for life and the courts.
Also, important positions still to come in the administration to be appointed or nominated, including Health and Human Services Secretary and Attorney General and that sort of thing. What are you looking for in those choices?
Well, you know, right now, personnel is always policy. We've always had people who run on Republican or conservative platforms, and then they put around themselves all the kinds of people that we don't even know. We have no idea who they are, and generally they're not part of our consistent worldview, or they don't come to the meetings that we go to. But this particular president-elect has surrounded himself by a lot of people that we do know, people that we can trust, like Kellyanne Conway. I've known her for a number of years. She is a Christian. She is pro-life, pro-marriage, pro-religious liberty, conservative across the board, great worldview. She's been the campaign manager, the first woman to lead a presidential campaign to success in the history of America. But on her own right, she is absolutely one of us, and she's solid. And also Reince Priebus. I've had time to be in personal conversation with Reince. I've been in meetings where he's shared his heart and said that his highest goal in life is to please Jesus Christ, and it wasn't something just put on. It was something that he shared from his heart. So, you know, I think personally, I am pleased with some of these early appointments. Obviously, the head of HHS and the attorney general, those are big issues, big appointments. Many others are as well. But at least at this point, the people that I know that he is surrounding himself with to get advice from and who he respects are people that I respect and people that are conservative. Now, I'm sure that there's going to be some things that he's going to do, people that he will appoint that we won't all agree with. On the other hand, at this stage, I can tell you that in the past presidential elections, George W. Bush, George H. Bush, many of these individuals that got to be in a position like him, they began to put people around them that are just the old guard. That's not what's happening with this administration, so I'm looking forward to these appointments. Liberty Council actually is part of a international and national prayer intercessory ministry, and our outreach for a prayer ministry is called Liberty Prayer Network. We are participating in and helping to spearhead a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week, 70 days of continual prayer. And that's in process now. Every minute of the day, it's in process where someone is committed every hour, and people are participating around the country in this international and national prayer for America. So we have a great opportunity ahead of us, and we need to pray that these people are appointed that will now be able to implement these opportunities that we've been given.
Matt, obviously extremely important. Perhaps the most important thing Americans can be doing is praying for the president, the existing one and the soon-to-be president. As you look at those two critical positions, but maybe some other ones as well, do you have any particular names you would love to see or any particular names you would absolutely not want to see there that are perhaps in the hopper?
Well, you know, I won't throw out any names. I know there's a number of names. There's lots of different people that are qualified and would be good. I can tell you that the worst possible choice of a Donald Trump presidency would be better than the choices of a Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama. So there's nothing to do but to improve the situation. And there's some that will improve it more so than others. But, you know, I think if we just get an attorney general who will not politicize the Department of Justice like the Obama administration has done, if we get people to head up these particular committees that don't want to push these radical liberal agendas that will be in favor of some deregulation of this extensive, burdensome regulation of the federal government and the intrusion on state and individual rights, that will go a long way to freeing up this country, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
Matt, let's talk about another issue the president-elect mentioned in his 60 Minutes interview, one that I'm sure you're not going to be very happy about, and that's on the issue of gay marriage, and here's the ABC summary of that.
But on another controversial issue, marriage equality, he said the issue of same-sex marriage is settled.
These cases have gone to the Supreme Court. They've been settled, and I'm fine with that.
Matt, you have said that the Obergefell decision from 2015 shows that the Supreme Court was on the brink of losing its standing as being an arbitrator of the law and the Constitution. Donald Trump is basically saying he has no intention of revisiting that. What's your reaction?
Well, you know, certainly unless you have a really strong understanding of history and worldview and a commitment on this area, most presidents are not going to touch this matter. So it's not unusual that the president wouldn't particularly touch that. Obviously, I think a president can refuse to enforce a bad decision of the United States Supreme Court that goes off the farm, goes off the Constitution. That includes both on the marriage issue as well as the abortion issue in many other areas. So I think that's certainly an option. I don't know if there's any presidential candidate other than Mike Huckabee who had that same view, and that's the correct view historically. So I didn't expect President Donald Trump or President-elect Donald Trump to have that view. However, what I will say this is if you nominate someone to the Supreme Court that has a judicial philosophy, not that they're politically pro-life versus pro-abortion, but that they're pro-life in the sense of they know that the Constitution has no basis for abortion. That means that someone's viewing the Constitution based upon the written text. They're not activists. So if you have a person who's pro-life justice, that's a person who's not going to be an activist justice or judge. If they're not going to be activists on the pro-life, they're not going to be activists on the issue of same-sex marriage, because that's even a further deviation from the Constitution beyond belief. So if you put someone in there to fill Scalia's spot, we're still at the 5-4, right? So we still have the same terrible decision on marriage. But it's likely that one more, two more, three more possibilities will come open in the next 4 years. And all he has to do is appoint another Scalia, another Justice Thomas, someone who will respect the Constitution. And therefore, guess what happens? 5-4, 6-3, depends on how many he appoints the other way. So just give the opportunity to fill those seats with someone who respects the Constitution. And this razor-thin 5-4 decision on the same-sex marriage, I think, will be in the same trash bin of history that Dred Scott found itself to be in when people began to wake up and have some common sense.
One of the other issues, of course, that has stemmed from Obergefell is the downstream issues of folks and what they can say, folks being able to exercise religious freedom. We know about the florists and the photographers and the bakers and so forth. And, of course, you're involved in an issue right now in terms of the transgender debate, an issue that Trump initially said that he had no problem with and then later said it should be left up to the state. So what do you expect on those downstream issues?
Well, I don't expect President-elect Donald Trump and his administration to be sending out letters like this transgender directive to the public schools or to the federal agencies or to the EEOC. I think that's going to come to an end. I think there's going to be a lot of these things that President Obama has been pushing that's going to come to a screeching halt in January when President-elect Donald Trump is inaugurated as the 45th president. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the federal government not cramming itself down the throats of every state and every person, specifically on these radical agenda, moral issues, or frankly immoral issues, and I think that's what you're going to see. If you had a Hillary Clinton presidency, think of what that would have been. You would have had, I think, Obama on steroids. I think Hillary is of the same worldview and radical mindset as President Obama, but I think she's more devious than President Obama. And obviously, if you look around her past and you look at the WikiLeaks, she has and her husband Bill have determined over their lives from their experience in Arkansas how to use the government system to be a bully, to literally manipulate media and everything else. And so I think it would have been a disaster. So I'm looking forward to President-elect Donald Trump coming into that position and pulling back on the reins and reversing a lot of these things that President Obama put in motion.
Last question, Matt. And while President-elect Trump seems to have gotten a stronger pro-life position over the course of this campaign, it seems like overall social issues have not been his focal point. Do you believe that him perhaps focusing on other things will let states and locales and individuals be free of the federal government's intrusion in these areas, or do you expect over time that he'll take a greater interest in them?
Well, I think his whole life has not been focused on these moral issues, and these are a little bit more new to him, including the issue of abortion and the whole issue of the LGBT agenda. Some of those are newer to him. It's not been something that has surrounded him or occupied his mind. Trade and domestic policy and the debt, all those things are front and center and have been for many, many years in his life. That's what his focus has been. I think if at a minimum he can pull back the federal government from pushing the throttle on these radical abortion issues and at a minimum allow the states some more freedom here, what we're going to see is a conservative trend of America, because what's happening here is we've had more pro-life legislation than at any other time in our history. We've had more abortion clinics closed because of some of the regulations that are being imposed on them, and they can't keep up with it. We also have had, you know, state after state after state go to the polls and pass marriage amendments. So you'll have some states like California that are going to be problematic on these issues. But that'll give people for the rest of the country some options. You're going to have lots of states that will continue to become more free, and you'll have, I think, some freedom that the states should have. We shouldn't have this federal government trying to force the states. And frankly, it's not just the states on the issue of homosexuality and abortion. This administration, and Secretary Clinton was part of it, has been pushing foreign governments, foreign nations, to liberalize their abortion and same-sex marriage and marriage laws and LGBT laws, to liberalize them. And if they don't, they're threatening to withdraw the State Department federal funding for them. That, I think, is all going to stop. That's not something he's going to push as an agenda internationally. So I think we're going to have our allies, our people around the world, take a sigh of deep relief that no longer will they have this activist bully pulpit pushing immoral principles and policies on them from the White House.
Matt, we'll leave it there. A very interesting 2+ months to go before the inauguration, and then it really begins. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Matthew Staver is the founder and chairman of Liberty Council. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.